Keep up to date with the latest WSL action and the biggest interviews.
You'd be delighted, Karen, if you just had Katie doing full on attack.
This is the best team I've seen in weeks. Get her up there.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
Okay, it's actually Thursday Night Racing on a Friday. It is our Christmas preview special, and Friday night / Thursday night / Christmas racing preview special is always brought to you in association with Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie. You can follow the Twitter account at HRI Racing, and the hashtag is Every Racing Moment. With me in studio is Johnny Ward. Johnny, how are you?
Not so bad, Ger.
Happy Christmas. Good to see you've dressed up for the occasion. Thanks very much for that.
Same to yourself, yeah. This time last year we made more of an effort, didn't we?
We had Christmas. I have a Christmas jumper outside that I forgot to put on. But anyway, also with us are Robbie Power and Katie Walsh. Good afternoon to you both. How are you getting on?
Hi, lads. How are you getting on?
Well, Ger, how are things?
You have a Christmas jumper on, Katie. Thank you for that.
Well, actually, it's not.
Are you sure?
I'm out of here.
But clearly, I won't be wearing it.
Tell us about your jumper, Katie.
A Christmas jumper.
One of the things about doing the preview this far out is that we're still uncertain about certain horses being declared, whether or not they're going to end up in Limerick or Leopardstown or wherever over the course of the holidays. You, I suspect, Katie, know exactly where you're going to be. You're going to be at Leopardstown for the 4 days with RTE?
Yeah, that's the plan, to be there for a couple of days. I think we've got some very exciting racing over the Christmas, so really looking forward to it.
Yeah, there are some crackers. We get into the Stephen's Day in particular. What's your situation at the moment, Robbie? How's your fitness going?
Slowly. For the first time in 20 years, I'm going to be watching Leopardstown on TV, so it's not ideal, but look, that's the way it is, unfortunately, and enjoy Christmas with the family this year for a change.
Yeah, swings and roundabouts. You might get to relax and enjoy it, or will you be like very annoyed that you're not actually out there on horses that you know have a chance of winning?
Yeah, it is difficult watching horses that you should be riding winning over Christmas. It's a very busy period and a fantastic period to be involved in, but unfortunately this year I'm not going to be involved, so I've accepted it now, and that's it. We look forward to early January and getting myself back fully fit and hopefully be back racing in the middle of January.
What is the latest with your injury, Robbie, and how kind of worried are you about the year you've had in that regard?
Sure, look, it's just been a frustrating year at the surgery on my back in the summertime, and then gave it the back the perfect chance to be 100%, and it was, and came back. I was back racing 10 days. First ride back was a grade 3 winner in Tipperary, and was looking forward to a good winter, and then all of a sudden 10 days later fractured my hip as well, and a few other injuries, but it's the hip that's taken the longest to fix, so that's the one that's going to be, by the time the hip is fixed, everything else will be ready to go. So we've a surgeon last week, so we're looking now at sort of a middle of January return. That's the plan anyway.
Ger and I were talking before we came in about almost dreading like nights out at the stage of our lives as we get older. Is it older with injuries that it just gets a bit tougher as well?
Yeah, obviously it does. You don't bounce as good as you do when you're 21 years of age, and you don't recover as quick. So it is harder to come back from injuries. But I've had, I suppose, fracturing your hip is probably one of the worst injuries I've had, and it's definitely one of the longest.
Let's move on to Stephen's Day. You want to controversially start across seas with the King George. What's the story with this?
Yeah, I was going to get to you, Katie, first as well, just because I remember when Kicking King won the King George, and he won it back to back, but I think it was the first year. It was the same day that Archibald won the Christmas Hurdle, which was an incredible race, because Rooster went, he must have gone about 20 lengths clear, and Paul Carberry must have been one of the toughest Paul Carberry rides. But I don't know if you remember that, Katie, because your role in RTE now, you're a bit like your dad kind of after race, but except you're on horseback, which is kind of an American thing. You're mounted on the horse and getting the immediate reaction from the jockey.
I don't actually remember Archibald. I don't really remember that race. But sorry, I don't understand the question.
Your role in RTE, sorry, I was a very badly put question actually.
Sorry, I was like, what is going on here?
It's kind of like, yeah, I'll get to King George in a minute. So your role in racing, I was talking to your brother about his new presenting role in RTE, and I was saying he's taken to it very well, but your role is quite interesting because it's kind of an American style. You're up on horseback and you're interviewing the jockey literally after he or she crosses the line.
Yeah, you know, I love doing it. And because I suppose for me, my heart is probably the National Hunt Racing. But, you know, kind of, well, I'm not maybe known the younger fellas as much as I know the older fellas. But yeah, it's great to get them when they cross the line, because you're really getting what they're feeling, what it means to them, whether someone's coming back from injury. And a big winner Christmas time is very special. Like, everyone heading out there is hoping to ride a winner at Leopardstown over Christmas or Limerick or wherever it may be. So to ride a winner at Leopardstown is really, really hard. And I suppose then you have different guys like Paul Townend and Brian Cooper and, you know, Jack, obviously, we're not going to have him this year. Puppy, obviously, not either. But it's getting them when they get back after an injury that they ride a big winner. You get to see them really, how much it means to them and how hard they work to get back. And you're getting exactly the raw, you're getting it firsthand, and you can't get it much better. They're not that they don't have a chance to think, but it's really, really natural compared to maybe a more of a composed, give them an extra maybe 5 or 6 minutes to cool down, to blow off. And everyone, all the lads and girls, everyone speaks so well. And I just think that it's the right time to be, I suppose, the best time, because you're literally getting them, I'd say, less than a minute as soon as they cross the line. So it's, and I know what it means to them as well, you know, so I really enjoy it.
Yeah, so the that was probably the most meandering question ever, but like, yeah, I mean, when you think about press conferences before events, like how utterly boring they are, and they're given so much coverage because of all the thought put into it, where there's literally, you're passing the line, you're high in adrenaline. But I suppose the question I was getting at there was, this really shocked me that Ireland hasn't won the King George since Kicking King. And Katie, that is completely mad considering like our dominance. I guess it's obviously the power of Leopardstown, but this year could be a little bit different, I suspect.
Yeah, this year could be. But to be honest, I don't know how many times we've tried either to send too many horses over. I'd be interested to go back and see. You know, but I think this year it definitely could be coming our way. I think the tables could be turned from the result that we had up in Down Royal a couple of months ago. I think that Froden, I thought Froden was meant to be coming to Leopardstown at Christmas time, but he is running in the King George, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's going to King George, and like, I think you're right, Katie, about that as well, in that there haven't been that many Irish challengers. Robbie, is it a case now that, and I think specifically with Henry de Bromhead, I've spoken about this, which are almost week to week at this stage, Henry is so strong now that he's targeting British races. He's going over there at Manella Indo because he obviously has possibly a horse just to win the big race in Leopardstown as well.
Yeah, well, he's not retired for Savile Chase at Leopardstown. He's Manella Indo to go to the King George. And it'll be interesting to see how Manella Indo gets on the King George, because the King George is a totally different test to the Gold Cup in Cheltenham. It's a sharp track, it's fast. And I just worry for Manella Indo early on in the King George if he'll have the pace to hold his position, you know, because around Kempton, there's no hiding places. It's run frantic end-to-end gallop. His stamina will kick into play in the end, but it's early on in the race will be the worry for Manella Indo. I think Asterion Furlong's gone over there, that William Mullins has said he's going to go. He's very, very interesting, because I think he'd have absolutely hacked up into John Durkin before he fell three out. He's got the pace. He's got a lot of things that tick the boxes for Kempton.
That's the thing, Ger, as well. Like the new camera, that kind of almost like the ambulance camera, that they sort of started bringing it in when it was really foggy weather there for a while, and it's kind of become popular. But as Poppy says there, when you see the horses from the inner, like with the roving camera and the King George, it's constant. It's just bang, bang, bang. It's turning. It's a completely different test. And that's why I think great people love the race.
You've been in Kempton on Stephen's Day, Robbie, have you?
I have been there the last couple of years, yeah.
And what from like your decision when you're thinking about like, will I go there? Obviously, you've got a good ride, and you think that you've got a chance of landing big prizes. Is it about like you wanted that experience the first time because it's actually a pretty amazing thing, or was it simply a business decision? This is the best opportunity for me today to earn money.
Yeah, it was a business decision. I tried to split up Christmas 2 days in England, then the last two days in Leopardstown, and that worked for both my trainers in Ireland and in England. But I had horses in the King George with a good chance. I went there with good chances, and I won the Cotto Star on Slade House as well. So I was going over with good rides in Grade One races on Stevenson's Day. So and the King George is the biggest race in England over the Christmas period, and it's probably where you want to be on Stevenson's Day.
It looks great. We talk to you guys all the time about the experiences, and sometimes it's like you ride in so many races over a long period of time, Grand Nationals, successful in Irish Grand Nationals, all that kind of stuff as well. Like, is it looks amazing. Is it actually one of the standout days of the year properly?
Ah, it is, yeah. The atmosphere in Kempton on Stevens' day is unbelievable. And the King George is an iconic race. You know, every jockey wants to win a King George. Unfortunately, I haven't done that, but it's a great race to be part of, and it's a fantastic occasion in Kempton.
The incident I was talking about was basically Barry Garrity was about to win the race, and a bit like the modern streaker, except completely more averse to taking risks, this lad dressed as Santa Claus ran across basically the home straight, and Katie's dad's line on TV, and I'm paraphrasing here, was he'd want a right kick up the hole. And I think it was just one of these really mad events for us. So Barry Garrity's like on the cusp of winning the King George, and then he's running into Santa Claus about 50 yards from the line and still managed to win. But I that stuck in my head. I don't know how you didn't remember that, Katie. You might have been riding Leopardstown, maybe.
Sorry, no, I do remember that incident. I actually remember Kicking King. Did he not have the last as well? And he nearly...
Yeah,
kick came down, and it wasn't actually. Obviously, it wasn't because of the guy in the Santa suit, but he did nearly have the last and fall. But I think it's a very interesting race this year. I think it could be coming back to us. I know that they say it's a sharp track; it's very different to Cheltenham for a Manila Endo. But I think Bryony got her own way last year. She went no gallop in front. She stacked them all up and sprinted away on what we all know is an absolutely unbelievable jumper in Froden. She won't have it as easy this year. They'll be breathing down her neck. They'll be making sure she'll be going to go gallop every step of the way. And I know who I'll be shouting for at the back of the last anyway.
So what do you think is going to win this one, Johnny?
I think Assyrian for Orange is a great chance. It's brilliant that he's gone over, as Katie alluded to there. It's not all that often that Willie Mullins really targets this race, hence the British domination. But it's kind of like... You've got to remember he's a fast horse, like, and this isn't it's not necessarily, I wouldn't call it an easy 3 miles per se, and I obviously don't ride in the race, but
it's fast and it's flat. Steve Challenge, absolutely. I think he wouldn't come off the bridle the last day either, but the problem is he needs to go right, and
yeah,
I don't know, what do you do? He needs a bit of room to go right as well, so you can't just line up on the inner. When they lined him up on the inner down in Limerick the Christmas before, he actually caught the top of the birch on the inside and fell. So he needs to actually have the room to correct himself, to go a bit right. So in doing that, you line up, but you actually line up a half a horse off the rail, or a horse off the rail. So when you go down to a fence, you move off it to give him the room to correct himself if he wants to go right. But he definitely needs a bit of room, and I know if I was on his outside, I wouldn't be allowing him that room on his inside.
That's great tactics, yeah.
And I think that if he doesn't get that room, he'll do what he's done so often, and when he doesn't get the space, he ends up on the deck, unfortunately. And so
Willie Mullins will be delighted with you anyway. Willie Mullins will be absolutely delighted with you.
It's not. It's tactics. Sure, we're all fully aware of it. We all know what he needs.
We do know anyway.
To get out over it. Well, I mean, that's part and parcel of the game. I mean, everyone going out there should know that. I mean, that's what jockeys do. They sit down, they go through, especially in grade ones. You know exactly the way horses operate and what's the best way to get a horse beaten, you know, that you think is going to be your opposition. I mean, you can't set out to... You have to sit out and ride your own race. But you do know that if you were keeping them good and tight everywhere. But in that case, knowing that, you can't go down to the start either and line them up on the wide outside. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think it'll be interesting. But if he gets the run of the race and he stands up, he'll definitely be bang there. What do you think, Puppy?
Yeah, I agree. I think if Asterion Forlans gets the trip and gets into a rhythm, he jumped very well in Punster the last day until he got to third last. And probably... if Brian Cooper could do it again, he probably would have followed Patrick for a bit longer. I think when he got upside Patrick going to the third last, Asterion Forlans latched on and just galloped straight into the front of the fence. If he had another go at it, I think he'd follow him for a bit longer. The race would be set up with Froden going along in front. Clandestobo for me is the biggest danger. We all know how good Paul Nicholas is when he targets a race, forced him out with a horse. And that's what he's done this year with Clandestobo. We saw him do it with Froden in Down Royal. I don't think Froden will be half the force after that Down Royal performance. I don't think there's anything left in him to improve on. So I think Clandestobo is going to be the big danger. But if Brian gets in the right rhythm following Froden down the inside, it's where I was last year on Lost in Translation. And obviously half through the race, I thought the perfect position. Froden's in front, going left. A horse in front of Asterion Ferrand's going left might even straighten him up a little bit when he sees another horse in front from going left. And if Brian gets a bit of room down the inside on him, if he gets the trip, I think he'll take a lot of beat.
Do you think Brian will ride him?
I would imagine so. I think Paul will stay in Leopardstown, maybe. I would imagine, will Fernie Hollow go to Leopardstown at Christmas? I suppose that's ground dependent. If he was to go to Leopardstown on Stephen's Day for a 2 mile novice, I would imagine Paul would stay and ride him.
Yeah, because that would be another completely interesting layer to it, because Brian Cooper's career has been bereft of big race rides really for the last few years, and it'd be some crack now if Patrick Mullins were riding him, Bryony Frost was on Frodon, because nobody's going to be going up Asterion for Lawrence's Inner. They could maybe discuss it before the race, but I'd love to see Brian Cooper. I think this would be a real signature win for him, a signature ride were he to come back, but if Patrick were there, it'd be interesting as well.
Okay, so that is Stephen's Day. Do we want to move back to...
I think we've discussed. I think that was brilliant tactical analysis by the guys. Because you think to yourself as a punter, sure, Asterion Ferrand would be grand. He'll hug the rail, but he still needs to go right, and that is going to be an issue, obviously.
Do we want to talk about that novices chase then? That you mentioned Fernie Hollow there. Fernie Hollow is the favourite at the moment for the Racing Post novice chase on Stephen's Day, and I suppose again we're going to hear from Gavin Cromwell a little bit later on in the show. He's got big decisions to make that will be ground dependent, that won't essentially be made until 3 or 4 days out from it. What do you want to talk us through this one, Johnny? So we've got Riviere Detail, Appreciated, Bob Olinger, and that's really it. Single figure prices.
Yeah, I just have to check with
Bob Olinger's entered a couple of times.
Yeah, so I'm just checking if he.
I think he got to Limerick.
Right.
Yeah, I think he was even entered in this weekend as well. So
He's not run
this weekend. So he could go to Limerick, obviously, for that race that Faugheen memorably won. I think we had Henry de Bromhead on not that long ago, Ger, and the way he spoke about Bob Olinger. It's almost like, despite the kind of caliber of the horses that they've had, they think of him as something very, very special. So I'm not entirely sure where he'll go, but I imagine Appreciated and Fernie Hollow will probably they'll be split as well. So Bob Olinger, I thought, was very, very good at Gore, and he couldn't have done much wrong, and be interesting. I don't know, Katie, do you know with Willie what he might be planning with those two? Because obviously that Limerick race is one that he targets, actually named after Faugheen now as well.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I wouldn't be in down in Willie's anymore. But obviously I follow the yard and what's happening and what's going on. But I can't imagine. I think Appreciated will have to go for a beginner summer. He hasn't ran over fences yet, so you can imagine he's not going to land him in. Willie, no way. It's a bit like Kilcrush. He'll probably run him in a maiden hurdle somewhere as well, or that's the kind of road that I would imagine he usually goes. I could see Bob Olinger going to Limerick. There was definitely a question mark over the way. He kind of screwed a bit. I'd be interested to see what Robert thinks of that over the last couple. What did you think of him in Gorn, Robert, the last day?
It was a good performance in Gorn, but it wasn't breathtaking. I remember the same day watching Brave Man's Game win in Haydock, and his jump run was spectacular. Okay, he was having his second run. Bob Olinger was having only his first start of offences. And he got the job done. But to be fair, Dara O'Keefe had a high-pressure ride that day riding him, and all he wanted to do was get from A to B. He wasn't asking any big questions. So I think there's a lot of improvement to come from that. He jumped well enough to satisfy me that he will be a very, very good jumper. But he needs to get experience, and I'd imagine Limerick is the place for him to go, unless Limerick was to be bottomless and... which doesn't look likely. That doesn't look likely this year with the weather forecast. But I'd imagine Limerick is the place to go.
Why do you think you both?
I'd imagine it's going to be Concertista down there. I think she'll go to Limerick for that 2.5 grade one, getting £7 off Bob Olinger.
You've both said that you think Limerick is the most likely outcome for Bob Olinger. Why would that be, Katie? What's the, just in terms of long-term planning, is that an easier race, a more suitable race? What is it that will kind of lead the connections to send in that direction, do you think?
I don't know. So probably for me, I always felt he liked a nice cut in the ground. And you're more likely, the reality it is Christmas time in Ireland, that Leopardstown is always kind of a faster run races. I'm sure Robert would agree with me compared to the races down in Limerick. Usually they are absolutely bottomless. It doesn't look like that's going to happen this year, but it is Ireland all the same. It'll definitely be slower than what Leopardstown is going to be. I mean, they're watering Leperstown at the minute, but sure, we're due no rain this week, and I'd say the only natural water that they're going to get is whatever they're putting on it up there. I just think, for me, it probably is probably the safer and the easier option for him. And I don't know why I think that, but I do think that Limerick would be a nicer target for him and a nice next introduction for him compared to Leperstown. That's just me.
Okay, fair enough. That's a really good race as well. Gabby Nacko, Vanillier, Lifetime Ambition and Beacon Edge and French Dynamite are all still in it at the moment.
Yeah, like it's good that they have those two options because I know, okay, like I've often said I hate the way particularly Cheltenham they dilute races, but the novice chase division in Ireland is ridiculously hot at the moment. So I'm also conscious of the fact that for Limerick this is a really, really big festival. This is it's their showcase 4 days, and the Fáthín the Fáthín Samcrow race like was so good for Limerick, and I think Bob Bollinger coming there, people do appreciate a good horse, and whatever happens, it obviously, you know, hopefully at Cheltenham that they do run against each other a bit more, but like whatever happens, they'll be very good races.
It's interesting, they're having
and it's Leperstown is 2-1 as well. I think Limerick is 2-3.
Yeah,
and he won at Cheltenham was 2.5. I'd prefer to be kind of going a bit further with him rather than maybe whizzing around Leperstown over 2-1. I don't know what they want to put him under that pressure.
Okay,
to be honest,
those two furlongs make a big difference then at the end.
Oh yeah, they do, and it changes. You like a 2 mile race is completely different to a 2.5 mile race, I find anyway. They obviously it's still a grade one contest and they'll go a better gallop, but they won't go as quick in Limerick over 2.5 even compared to what they'll go over 2.5 in Leperstown. They're two completely different tracks, and they just will go, it's always the way, they will definitely go steadier in Limerick over 2.5 than what they will in Leperstown. It's definitely easier, big, a lot of fences up the back in Limerick. You have to get into a real rhythm, I find. And I mean, don't get me wrong, Leperstown is, for me, one of the nicest tracks over fences as well, but it just happens a bit faster compared to Limerick. And I can't see them dropping them back. I think you'll go to Limerick over 2-3, to be honest.
Okay, that all makes sense. Are you giving us are you picking a winner, Johnny, for the Leperstown novice chase?
Sure, Fernie Hollow, I guess, if he runs there. Don't know what you made of him, Puppy, the other day. You know, he beat a horse in Curse of Bleem, probably that doesn't necessarily find a lot. But again, a bit like Bob Allinger, it's probably a race that'll bring him on in terms of his technique.
Yeah, he jumped again, a bit like Bob Allinger. He was good without being spectacular. He made one or two little novice mistakes, but I wouldn't mind that. He'll learn a lot from it. He's going to have know all about it now by the time he passes Riviera de Tell. She's getting the mare's allowance as well, getting £7 off him. She was very, very impressive in all her starts over fences. I rode against her the day she won her first beginner's chase. And
if ever there's a horse that just really, like, she's just, everything suits her better over fences.
She's really well jumping fences. She attacks her fences. So far, she's been flawless over her jumping has been absolutely flawless. I know she's been getting a big weight for age allowance, and that's going to go at Christmas, but I still think she's going to take an awful lot of beat. And even if it's only the £7 that Riviera de Tell has, or that Fernie Hollow has to give her, he'll know all about it by the time he passes her. And she's going to put all of them novices jumping to the test, you know.
If you go on to the 27th, then the Paddy's Rewards Club steeplechase, like, again, it's hard to know what might turn up here, Ger, but if Energy Mean and Shaq and Pursois do take each other on, which would be great, and then obviously Envoy Lenz in the betting as well, who was disappointing to John Durkin, but I don't know, maybe start with you, Katie. Like, these are the races where you just hope that you get two or three sort of these stars, because I know Shaq and Pursois bombed, obviously, at the last day, but, like, you know, that wasn't his true run.
No, it wasn't, but I was very disappointed with him all the same. And it's not the first time we've done that. It's not the first time I've been disappointed with him. Like, he has been obviously, he's a very good horse, but he's not consistent and he's hit and miss. I've been an Energy Mean fan all the way. I think he's unbelievable. And I think he's the one that they all have to beat. I think Envoy Allen's days are behind him. I think he was so well placed by Gordon from the time he went over fences. He never had to even produce his hurdle forms. It's only when he stepped in amongst the big dogs the last day we really saw what's there, and I think that's just the way he is. I thought Gordon did an unbelievable job to place him in all those chases last year. You know, no one really took him on. Steering for Launch felt the first one we thought we were going to get a race, tipping around there, winning on the bridle, But I actually think that that's just him now. And I don't think, I wouldn't be too concerned about N by Allen, I don't think, anymore in anything, to be honest with you. But that's, listen, maybe come back and haunt me, but I haven't been a fan.
You've made two big calls there now. Like, Shaq and Porcelain's record, right, since he came to Ireland. First, second to Aplutard. First. Very close third in the champion chase. First beat Alaho 5.5 lengths, and then one bad run.
Yeah, but he has been inconsistent, has he not? Or has he not? He went to Cheltenham, they thought he wouldn't come off the bridle, and he finished third. No.
Yeah, maybe they didn't ride him. But I just think, in fairness to Tinker Creek, that's not his running at all. Like, I mean, he completely blew up. He's backed into what, 8-13 favourite. I mean, 4th of December. I don't know if he's going to turn up, but you have to give a horse one allowance for a bad day.
Yeah, maybe so, but I still like to ride Energemine. What would you ride, Puppy, if you got a phone call in the morning?
Energemine. On the back of what we've
now,
seen.
Johnny,
so
you can ride Shaq and
Porcelain. I'm in a cast and Robbie's hip is crocked, so we're both screwed, I think.
I can't see Paul Howland not riding the Energemine on the back of what we've seen so far this season. Now, the one thing, I do hope that Leopardstown do a good job on watering the chase track and we don't have what happened last year where the ground is too quick and some of these good horses don't turn up. We are having a dry winter and I hope they do put plenty of water on. We have proper winter national ground rather than ground is too quick and these good horses don't turn up. That would be a complete disaster. But Energemine, for me, you couldn't butt ride him. You know, he was very, very good in Cork. And Shaq and Porcelain was beat going to the railway fences in Sand and he never fired at all. It could be a thing that he doesn't travel. Both his runs have been very disappointing when he's gone on a boat. He hasn't got off it. So he's a much better horse than Leopardstown, but you look at Shaq and Porcelain, he's not the strongest finisher of a race, and a horse like Energemine, who sees out 2 miles really, really well and has the cruising speed to follow Shaq and Porcelain would be very, very interesting.
Just briefly, Ger, sorry, the Energemine Cork performance was absolutely extraordinary because Notebook went with him and Notebook finished like he'd run a 2 mile pace over 12 miles. He was that wrecked. Size and Potsy came up then and looked like, God, he might actually half challenge him come to the second or third last. And it was almost like this baton charge of like, or pass the baton of horses that want to be finished legless if they get anywhere near him. So he ended up being legless and was passed in. Daily Tiger came past him because he was ridden to come second. And Energemine was still just like, well, everyone is coming at me here, but it was an extraordinary performance. Because Notebook is not a bad horse and he left him absolutely paralysed at the end of it.
Okay, so everybody loves Energemine.
Yeah, but I think Shaq and Porcelain, I'd be very, very low to write him off. Maybe as Katie alluded to there, you wouldn't be that confident that they're necessarily going to turn up against each other at the moment.
Okay, so you're not quite writing them off, but you're certainly not backing them either.
Energemine's going to be favourite, put it that way. But I still think Shaq and Porcelain is very...
I think this is the biggest test for him.
Yeah.
Taking on Energemine, I think this is the biggest test for him. Now, he operates unbelievable around Leopardstown and the form was there. Like, he does operate around there, but there has been a big question mark over the way he finishes. And coming off the back of Sandown, now, listen, it's one of Willie's. Who knows what could happen? But I think if I had a choice in the morning, I'd be riding Energemine anyway.
There's obviously a lot of speculation involved again with what might happen on Monday the 27th in the Paddy Power Chase and then the day after in the Savills Chase. Do we have a fair idea yet, Johnny, what you think the makeup of these fields are going to be?
The Savills is probably the more, I guess, the one you can kind of guess better in the sense of what's going to go to Kempton. Like, Aplutard's going to be a hot favourite. He's, to me, like, when he ran at Leopardstown in the past, there was maybe a question mark about his stamina. But the last day, and you are wondering a small bit at Haydock, is it too good to be true? Because he won, the distances that day were 22 lengths and 22 lengths. Ryan Cabay and Chatham Street Lad. There were some disappointments in behind. But at the same time, he was second to Manel Indo in the Gold Cup last year when he did very little wrong. He was brilliant at Leopardstown when, I think, providing Dara with his first Grade 1 winner over the course and trip. Now, what's he going to take on? Looking at the betting here... Like, maybe Album Photo might run in that, but he's very, very hard to knock because he's a fast horse who'll have nice ground. And I don't know, Puppy, I can't see a hole in him at the moment.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing Aplutard in at Christmas and hoping he can back up that run in Haydock, because that was very, very impressive. Yes, the race did fall apart in behind him to a certain extent. Roy Pagai, who was second, was running on ground, was too quick for him. Bristol the Mine never jumped a fence, and Kim Bailey's horse, can't think of his name. He fell down the back when he probably would have been second to him. But you can take nothing away from Apple Tired. It was a brilliant performance. And I think he will come out and back it up in the Saddles. He'll be very, very hard to beat. He won the race last year. Wouldn't mind riding Envoy Adam behind him.
Sure, oh, Katie's him written off, sure.
You can have him. Good luck. I'll ride Apple Tired. You can ride M. by Allen away, would you?
I do agree with Katie about M. by Allen. He was very disappointed in the John Durkin. But to me, he didn't jump with any fluency. He jumped a bit high again and big.
Why is that, puppy?
I don't know, Katie. I've never ridden him. He always looked like a very good jumper, but I'd love to ride him over 3 miles. I think he's a horse that you could puck him out handy over 3 miles, get into a rhythm, and things be happening a bit slower for him. He's probably not as quick. He can't go from Gordon thinking as much of him as he did to being the horse we saw in the John Durkin. He has to be better than that.
There's a big problem, though, Poppy. Like, and I'm with Katie on this. He's had four starts for Henry de Bromhead, and he's more or less bombed in three of them. Like, that's not good.
No, it isn't good. And the John Durkin was his first real big test.
Mm.
And the same in Cheltenham when he fell, was he was surrounded by horses, took his eye off the game, stood off way too far, and landed in the middle of the fence. Maybe he's a horse that likes things his own way. He'll never get things his own way over 2.5 or over 2 miles because I don't think he's that quick. So I think I'd love to see the horse step up and trip anyway. I think on nice ground around Leopardstown, he could bounce him out. He'd have the cruising speed. And if he stays, he could be a decent horse. If he doesn't stay, he's just another horse.
Well, ideally he would stay and we'd actually get a bit of a challenge. At this remove, what are we, 10 days out from that, 12 days out from that, Apple Tired is already 5-4 anti-posts. So
I think he won't go off that, to be honest. It's just like he's you can't pick a hole in him going into the race.
So he'd be well odds on.
I think 5-4 is like, I honestly don't know what's going to run against him. And the race might cut up a small bit because we know kind of now at this stage what's going to Kempton. And I think he'll be odds on in this race myself.
Okay, we should talk about the Christmas hurdle, Flooring Porter, who we're going to hear a bit more from over the next week or so. We've been down to Gavin Cromwell's yard to have a look. Up against Classical Dream, Sire de Burley, Ronald Pump, Abacadabras, and they're the
Ronald
short.
Pump's gone to England, is he?
Is
weekend.
He? Is he? Okay.
I think so.
Right. Yeah. So he'll come out. Flooring Porter's story is incredible, and the improvement arc has been fantastic. Can Flooring Porter keep it up?
Yeah, he was a revelation in this race last year. I think Gavin Cromwell, I know you visited him there, I know he's kind of been on record as saying that he needs to go left-handed. I thought at Navan, I thought things were going perfectly well for him. He was, that was 2.5 as well, again, as was alluded to here, good ground at Navan in November. It's really bizarre what climate change is doing to Ireland, but it'll probably be similar here except 3 miles, going left-handed. I don't know, Katie, I think we'll see a big performance from him.
He's an odd one, really, isn't he?
Jeez, you're in some form today. You're just picking holes in all these top proper horses.
I'm not. I'm just stating the obvious. He isn't straightforward. Like, I mean, there was a big chance last year when he was going left-handed. They thought he might, you know, he needs to go left-handed because if he didn't, he could. No, people were saying in Cheltenham last year, because there was no rail, that they thought there was a good chance that he really needs a rail. Now, he didn't. And obviously, he was very impressive. But he can be, he gets quite worked up and quite hot. And it just depends on what Florin Porter appears. If we have the Florin Porter from last year, absolutely. But he can, he just lacks consistency. I don't know.
Florin Porter from Buckingham turns up, you're in trouble.
Mm. Yeah. I think the left-handed thing is probably true. But
he flipped it. He'd go left-handed me backside. He'd flip the lid before he jumped off.
Mm.
Johnny Burke tried to, or Johnny, Moore tried to line him up. He couldn't control the horse at the start at all. He was completely gone. You know, he's an oddball of a horse.
Yeah.
A very, very talented one at that. But he's not straightforward. And I think that the 3 mile hurdle division is weak enough. But mm-hmm. If he steps up and stays sound, I think he's a very, very good horse. He showed in Bunster, he gets the trip. He has the pace. He was second in the Supreme Novices. He has the pace to follow well into the horses. I just think he could be the standout if he stays sound in the 3 mile stairs hurdle division.
What about Classical Dream?
He's not entering the race, so no. He's obviously had that little setback. He was due to run in Previously, he was due to make his seasonal return in the Hatton's Grace, I think. So I'm not exactly sure what the plan with him is. You look at Sire de Burley then, who was third in the race last year, when really I thought like he just wasn't able to live with the horse that had gone off hard. Maybe he'll give him a bit more respect this year. And to be fair, like you're looking at him 6-1. He should be in the first three each way. As Poppy says, Florin Porter, Gavin Cromwell has told probably you this as well, Ger. He is a bit of ahead the ball at times, but I didn't think it. I thought at Navan he was very good. It couldn't pick a hole in him at all. I think he's a great chance here.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it there. Happy Christmas to Robbie and to Katie, and I love your jumper, Katie. It's very good. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Wait until she actually wears a Christmas jumper. It's going to be some crack.
Robbie, enjoy the turkey and whatever else this year. We can't wait to see you back. Thanks a million, folks.
Nice way, Jarvis.
Cheers.
So Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. This is, of course, Thursday. We've got the live game tomorrow between Montpellier and Leinster, assuming it goes ahead. So that's a crack with that. It's funny you're talking about Florin Porter and being a bit of an oddball. We went up and walked up. Florin Porter came straight out and put his head out and was like totally friendly.
Yeah.
I must be some kind of horse whisperer. That's all I'm saying.
It's the thing, though, that we need to like promote more, and I think this will be done on social media in time. Like, where I think horses will have their own like Instagram pages in the that you can check out what they're up to day to day, especially the really popular horses, because he might be, you know, he might be one of these horses where he goes to racetrack and he changes, or he might be just a horse that like has different days depending on what his mood is. I remember when we'd Henry de Bromhead on and he was saying Honeysuckle wouldn't let him go near her. Like, this was 2 days before the Hatton's Grace, when she was again amazing, but he took it as a positive because he's like, she's absolutely full of herself here, and they've real character, like, and you got to see that. Obviously you got to see some very good horses that morning.
Yeah, exactly. So I was up with Gavin Cromwell at his yard and me just last week. He was in full on preparation mode for the crucial Christmas racing season. Obviously the first major jumps festivals of the season, where you get to watch everybody from the big guns to the novices competing and spot the next up and coming stars of the racing world. So obviously we were asking Gavin particularly about his horses to see where they might end up and how he thinks they might get on. Have a look. In terms of this Christmas festival, is there anything else you have that you really like the look of?
Gabby Nacko, you know, he ran a brilliant race in defeat in the Drinmore. You know, he made three bad mistakes and one particular bad one at the second last, and he was only beaten a length and a half. You know,
are those defeats heartbreaking or actually easier to take because you know there's progress?
I'm not one to, I don't cry over spilt milk, but that was hard to take. Yeah. But my mate Mozzie only beaten in a photo as well, and you know, he just got in under the last and he was keen everywhere, and just coming home 2 seconds of grade ones that you feel that you could have won, you know, and with
that's
any
the
little
game.
Bit, that's the, it is the game, but it, yeah, like, but those opportunities don't come very often. So.
And when will you decide where Gabby Nacko's going?
Yeah, it'll be right down to the wire there, right, as well, really, you know. And he had a very hard race. He'll more than likely run a Christmas. He seems to have come out of it fine, but he gave himself a very hard race in Ferryhouse.
Okay. And do they automatically reappear? Is the Dublin Racing Festival an automatic kind of staging post for the rest of the season, or is it, you're not quite sure? With Vanillier, for example, it doesn't sound like you're sure.
He may not. We might skip there and just go straight.
Right.
We'll see. You know, if you're going to go to the spring festivals, you can't overrace them either.
It's Gavin Cromwell there and OTV's own resident Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah.
The only person who can get a tune out of.
Yeah.
Florin Porter.
They're beautiful animals, aren't they? It's just really, really cool to visit the yard.
Quite small, Florin Porter,
yeah,
compared to some of the other ones. And so there isn't really, it looks like I just made that point, this is not me knowing anything about it, but I was saying it's quite small. Like, yeah, well, that probably means that chasing won't be in Florin Porter's future.
It's some horses aren't the biggest and can't take to chasing, but with someone like him, it's kind of easy to make that choice, because if you're that good at it, we're not going to, you know, like... They could have some very good horses. The likes of Limestone Lad, I suppose, could have gone over fences. They did it late with did Archibald going to chase, I think, towards the end of his career, which, you know, you sometimes, if with Florin Porter, like, I think Gavin was probably a bit surprised at the progress. Like, he absolutely bolted up the stairs hurdle. And that's all roads lead there. And I think the decision is easy with a horse as good as him.
So that was Gavin Cromwell there. Keep an eye on OTV's social channels for more highlights from our trip to his yard. We'll bring you the full video on next week's Friday Night Racing, which is of course going to be on Christmas Eve. Racing and Off the Ball brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Now, it's as you were in our tote 10 to follow standings. None of our horses were running, so Johnny retains his absolutely massive lead at the moment. He couldn't Devon lock it from here, could he?
I'd say I absolutely could, yeah. And I'd be worried about, definitely be worried about Danny anyway.
Okay, yeah. That's fair enough. Yeah. You understand where the threat is this time. Visit tote.ie for 10% bigger dividends with Tote Plus. Is there anything this weekend that... like
Turles is the traditional kind of pre-Christmas card. It is, of course, the 16th of December, which means next week's Christmas Eve is a Friday, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very slow to react to Christmas. So this would be your... Yeah, if you're... Dundalk will be good cracking the Friday night and obviously into Turles in. And it's just unfortunate with Leopardstown, Gerard, that crowds are... I mean, it's sold out 2 days already. It's such a class... day out for the people of South Dublin, as well as people who are into racing. Just get, I mean, you're kind of, your brain is a bit fried, I think, after being in the house for 2 days, particularly Christmas Day, and you want to get out. Everyone is buzzing on Stevens' Day or Boxing Day, whatever you want to call it. It's just a shame that the crowds are what they are.
Yeah, it is. Fingers crossed, all the way back to normal next year. And if you need a booster,
said that last year.
If you need a booster, get a booster. Right, that is the show for you this week. Racing Off the Ball, brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie. That's Friday Night Racing on a Thursday for this week only. We'll see you again next Friday. Take care.
Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball. And they're on. Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.